Now you'll notice in your sermon, in your paperwork there today, it just says sermon. Well, that's because I didn't give Miss Beth my title, and that's also because I didn't want to. I don't mean anything silly or nasty by it, but we're going to take a test on this sermon today. Okay. However, this isn't just a normal test, because the title of my sermon is on the screen right now. Is Christ coming or are we going? Okay? Is Christ coming or are we going? Now, the test starts now, before the sermon starts. Okay? You've got to pass the test before the sermon. Don't you normally get a teaching and then you have a test? Well, I hate to tell you this. You've been in church a long time. The teaching has come. It's time for the test. Okay? With this question, and that is a question, is Christ coming or are we going? There are four answers that you get to choose from. Don't make your choice right away. Wait until all four of them are up there. This could be a trick question. You all know Pastor. The first answer that you can give is A. I'm waiting for the Lord to return. B. I'm waiting to be raptured to the Lord. C. You're crazy. Why am I here? Or D. I have no idea what you are talking about. Choose your answer. Dee dee dum dum dee 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 dum dum dee 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 dum. Everybody got an answer? Okay. How many of you chose D? This one I'm curious about. How many of you chose C? I got one. How many of you chose B? How many of you chose A? Very good. I hate to tell you this, on a grading curve, most of you have failed. What we're going to find out today is the answer to the question. I'm not going to give it to you right away. What I am going to give to you is God's Word, as you have been given time and again. However, we have some misnomers in the church, don't we? We have some things that we say or what have you that don't necessarily line up 100% with what we really think and what we're really doing. And today, that's what we're going to talk about. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Colossians in the first chapter. Colossians in the first chapter. Remember, this is the first day of Advent. This is the first day of Advent. And we are talking about hope. Because we have a hope in the Lord. Amen? But what is that hope? And why are we so confused? Because if you looked at it, we were about 60-40. We had about 60% of you choose A and about 40% of you choose B. Why would there be such a divide within the church? Well, a lot of times it's because the church hasn't given good teaching, okay? And I honestly have to say that is because the church has not given good, consistent teaching, okay? Because I'll be honest with you right now, both A and B are going to happen, right? But which one, where are we? Which is it? Is he coming or are we going? Because those two answers are the reality. Either he's coming or we're going. Which is it? What are we waiting for? Well, according to Colossians chapter 1 in the 24th verse, Colossians, in the first chapter, the 24:1, Colossians, thus saith the Lord. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. That is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery, my tongue's tied up, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. As we look at those words, our hope is what? Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, there are a couple of things in there that Paul says that throw a little bit of confusion into what's going on. I want you to look at verses 24. And Paul here says that he rejoices. Now, I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. Was anything lacking in Christ's affliction? We're talking about the cross here. Was anything lacking in the cross? No, absolutely not. So please, when you read that, make sure you understand. Paul must be talking about something else. What is Paul talking about there? How much affliction is there yet to have happen in the church? Because he's not talking about the cross of Christ. He's talking about the church of Christ. How many of you right now are still undergoing suffering? That's right where we are. Okay? It's one of the reasons why we're where we are as a church in our life of our church. Okay? All new churches go through this period of time. It's a time of seeking. It's a time of searching. It's a time of recommitting. It's a time of understanding just how important you are. And Paul here is talking about that affliction. He's talking about the fact that each and every one of us, and he himself, was suffering for the church's sake in progressive sanctification. Boy, there's that wonderful word Pastor uses all the time. Because we aren't there yet. Christ has finished the work, but we need to get to that finished state. Amen? And as we afford ourselves the ability to get to that finished state, Christ continually grows in us. We are becoming more and more like him. Therefore, hence, we see that verse 27 is coming true. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of glory in this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. As you and I are being changed from glory to ever-increasing glory, as our lives are committed to Jesus Christ, there is an advent happening every moment of every day in our lives. For the people living in darkness have seen a great light. And that light is the Lord Jesus Christ in us, growing and growing and growing and getting brighter and brighter and brighter every step of the way. If that light is not getting brighter, what's it doing? If it's not getting brighter, it's getting dimmer. A candle burns out, right? Aren't we glad that the candle of God is an eternal flame? It cannot go out. But we need to apportion it to our lives, to open up our lives that it may shine into every room. Does that answer our question? I think it's the beginning to the answer. Because as we begin to understand what this hope of glory is, maybe we'll understand a little bit better. Is he coming or are we going? Turn to 1 Peter 1. Let's look at this hope of glory. 1 Peter. We all know Peter, right? How many of us think we are Peter sometimes? 1 Peter. Excuse me, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, beginning in verse 3. And I'm going to read through 9 here. From the third verse, we read these words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. How many of you have been there lately? A few trials? Yeah. A little bit of tribulation? Boy, just wait. There's 7 years of that coming, and by God, we're not going to be here to see it. Amen? So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And through you, and though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, I hate to tell you this, but the answer's in there. Okay? The answer is in that scripture that I just read. Does anybody see it? The answer is in there. Let's start at verse 4. Where is it reserved? Woohoo. So is He coming or are we going? We're going. We are not waiting for the coming of the Lord, dear people. When the Lord comes, the tribulation is already over. It's the end of the tribulation. We are out of here before He ever comes. You and I are not waiting for the Lord to come again. If you're still waiting for the Lord to come again, you have not chosen the Lord Jesus Christ. You're waiting for Him to prove that He really is God. How many of you know right now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, Jesus Christ is God, the Son of God, God and very God? And when we understand that, we are not waiting for Him to come. That is not our lot. We are waiting to go, to receive this inheritance that is stationed for us in heaven, held for us, protected for us. Isn't that what we just read? It can't be ripped away. Our glory, our hope is in Jesus Christ, that He has already come. We don't need the second coming. We don't want the second coming because we're going to be at a feast while that's happening. And we spoke about that today during communion. Because when you and I understand that there's an Advent coming, and you know what? We need to be on our faces for those people who are going to see that advent. Because it's going to mean 7 years of hell on earth. It's going to mean 7 years of the wrath of God being outpoured on this world. Millions will die during that time. But we won't be here. So the answer to the question is B. I am waiting for the rapture of the Lord. Because we're checking out. Man, I got a ticket for that train, and I cannot wait to have it punched. That's my hope. That's my glory. That is where I'm headed. Because there is an Advent coming, and we need to remember it is to that Advent that the church is to be working for, to see to it that no one sees that Advent. Because the second time He comes, He does not come as a child. Jesus Christ came as a babe. He came helpless. He came and He served mankind and He loved us with all that He was and He poured that all out. You see, we just sang the song, O come, Emmanuel. Rejoice, rejoice. I want you to look at that last line. That last line scares me to death. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. To who? He's coming to Israel. We need to understand, the hymnist got it right. They understood. He's not coming to us. He's coming for Israel. And He's coming as their king. Remember, they rejected Him. That's why we're all here. And when He comes, He is going to rule them with an iron scepter. Do you like discipline? Do you think it's hard living in this world today? I want you to think about living in a world where God Himself rules, not in grace. Please do not read into the text. Read the text. The text says that He shall rule with an iron scepter. How many of you think that sounds like teddy bears, hugs, and kisses? We have the teddy bears, hugs, and kisses right now. It's called grace. It's called compassion. It's called mercy. When He comes that second time, it's not going to be a happy time. It's going to be a time of judgment. It's going to be a time of strict rule. Because God is a holy God. Amen? And for the first time, sinful man, because remember, we're still going to be who we are with all our flaws. Okay, so all the Israelites and the people who are left alive after the tribulation, all their junk is going to follow them. We've been changed because we're where? We're in heaven. We're in glory. Okay, now we're going to rule with Him, but we're still going to be in heaven and in glory because we're going to be with Him. We will have received our blessing. We will have received that promise. We will have received the treasures that are in heaven for us. The glory of God. But we're going to be changed so that we can't sin anymore. Amen? How many of you are longing for that day? Whew. All this junk gone. And all the goodness of God, all the love of God, all the fullness of God. We will not be able to sin. Think about that. This world will be able to sin. Because they'll still have free will. And in that world, I don't want to live. I want to be alive because I'll be in Christ. I don't want to live. Because without the Holy Spirit in me, there is no way I cannot sin. Amen? Please remember, those people are not going to have the Holy Spirit in them. They're going to have their own free will. What's going to happen every time they mess up? There's an iron scepter coming your way. Is it going to be a fun time, Miss Virginia? You know, the church needs to get its teaching right. We all know this, but we don't like to teach it because we don't want to scare y'all. You know, pastors talk about this stuff, but it's like, yeah, but we're not going to be here, so we're not going to talk about that stuff. You know, if we talked about that stuff, you might want to get your loved ones into heaven a little bit quicker, right? Because some of them are telling you, well, I'm waiting until He returns. Because when He does, then, you know, then we know it happened. Whoa! I don't want to be here at that time. My hope is in the fact that I'm checking out. that I have a reward in heaven because I have believed. He says, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. And you and I are in that group to be counted. And it's my prayer that you'll hang on to that thought, because we know now the answer. And it is our hope. Our hope is the rapture. But our hope needs to guide us in bringing the gospel to those who need it. Sharing it with people. You know, I had a discussion with my elders at the elders meeting, and they said, yeah, Pastor, but you know, the folks are kind of scared. How is that supposed to happen? Are they going to be out there on the sidewalk talking? No. Brother David will be out there on the sidewalk. Amen? Amen. He'll be in the highways, in the byways, and in the way, period. Where's Miss Amy? You know. Oh, she's teaching? Okay. Because she would be saying, amen, amen, amen. In the Myerstown Parade preaching. That's Brother David. But what about some of us? How do we bring that gospel? Each and every one of you has a community that you live with. Okay? In that community, when something comes up, do you bring Christ into it? You should. He's your center, isn't he? Every time it comes up, we have been told to shut up. That is your faith. Wrong. We need to speak it out. That's why they're telling us to shut up. We need to remember who is in charge of this world? Satan. And he wants us to shut up. So when they tell us to shut up, or you're a bigot, look at them and say, fine, I'm a bigot. God must be one too, because this is what he says. And if he says it, that's fine by me. Let them call you whatever they're going to call you, because the reality is, who's the real bigot? The bigot is the person who won't hear your opinion. That's the true definition of a bigot. So remember, when they're calling you names, they're actually telling you who they are. Let them. Don't be afraid of it. Some of us, we're on the computer and we're texting people, we're emailing friends, and we know they have problems. How many of you would send an email prayer? Don't just say, I'm praying for you. Literally type it out. You know, a friend of mine years ago, this is before the internet, believe it or not, for you kids, yeah, it was before the internet. A friend of mine handwrote a prayer for me on the back of a time card from Modern Printing Press Company when I was in the machine shop. That time card has a thumbtack on my desk at my house. May the words of my mouth and my heart's meditations be acceptable to thee, O Lord. Every time I say that prayer, I sing it because I love the song. But that's the prayer he wrote out for me. He said, Rich, I really feel that I need to pray this for you. And I want you to pray it. And he gave that to me some 27 years ago. And it still means something to me today. That's evangelizing. Getting that word out. Letting people know the hope of glory. We're not waiting for the Lord to come again. We are waiting for that rapture. We're checking out of here, and we have a destination. And at that destination, there is a house waiting for us. And that house isn't empty. It is full. For God has filled it up with all the treasures that we have built up. And I'm going to tell you right now, I do not live my life to build up treasures, but I live my life because of the life Jesus Christ has given me. And when I get there, I'm telling you right now what a Christmas that is going to be for me, because I'm going to walk in the door and see all these wonderful presents. That's the Christmas I long for. Because I'll be in Christ's presence. That's our glory. That's our hope. And we need to hang on to it, and we need to tell the world about it. It's that simple. Brothers and sisters, I pray that as we look at the Word of God, we can give the true answers. The last scripture I want to take you to is Romans 5, and then we're going to end. Oh, wow, is it? What time is it up there? I'm doing pretty doggone good. Romans 5. I told Miss Sally I was going to make sure I ended on time today because I knew she had choir, and she said, we don't have choir, so you're getting out early. Romans 5, 1 through 9. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, I'll let you, I still hear some pages flipping. Romans 5, 1 through 9. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, is that ever a good thing, because in that peace, we don't have to worry about a whole lot of anything, but yet we do. But that peace is not a worldly peace. It does not mean everything's going to be happy hunky-dory, does it? It means we have communion with God once again. We can talk to God. He's there on our behalf. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who He has given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. That's the first coming. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. We cannot be waiting for Him to come, because He comes after the wrath has been outpoured. We are going to check out before that ever happens. He says, my righteous ones will never see my wrath. We're going home. That's our hope. That's the hope of glory. We are not waiting for the second coming, but there is a world who's going to receive it. And when that happens, it will be hell on earth. Let's get it straight. We're hoping in the rapture. We're hoping in the call. When the last trump sounds, we're out of here. Oh, what a day. We'll be singing victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me in victory beneath the cleansing flood. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah! Amen! But that's not where I'm going to let you. I have an alma mater I want you all to read with me. Grab your hymnal. We're going to read it. We're not going to sing it. We're going to read it. Because again, the hymnists got it right. And this is my alma mater from Lancaster Bible College. It's hymn number 279. And I feel that we have to end with this today, with our sermon, because this is the reality. This is our hope. We're going to read verses 1 through 4, and then we will read the refrain. Okay? My hope is in the Lord, who gave Himself for me and paid the price of all my sin at Calvary. no merit of my own, his anger to suppress. My only hope is found in Jesus' righteousness. And now for me he stands before the Father's throne. He shows his wounded hands and names me as his own. His grace has planned it all. 'Tis mine but to believe and recognize his work of love and Christ receive. For me he died, for me he lives, an everlasting light and life he freely gives. Let us pray. Father God, as we have lit that first candle, the life and light that you have freely given us is truly burning in us even now. So Lord, as we go through these weeks of Advent, we know that you are our hope. And our hope is not in your coming, but our hope is in our going, that we would be received to you in heaven. And Lord, we pray that you would use us during this time that we are waiting to be a vessel of your word, that others may truly become part of that rapture. Because, Lord, we do not want any of our loved ones to see your coming. Because in your coming, Lord, is wrath. And we wish not that for any man. But we wish for them the hope of glory, which is sealed in heaven for all of those who would believe. And, Lord, we pray that you would use us even now to bring forth that truth in this Advent season. For, Lord, now is the day, now is the hour, and night draweth near. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.